Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to talk about what's upcoming this season, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's introduction with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
I guess the only thing we can bounce back to is the Jamboree. So kind of what did you learn from your team from just a couple scrimmages there?
I was impressed with our willingness and ability to play a physical brand of football. I was impressed that we've made strides tackling, and it sounds simple, but we were lined up correctly. So we believe, knowing all those things are true, that we can continue to improve on all things football.
Yeah, now you get to focus on school, the Osage, headed into week one. You get week one at home this year. Just how big is that to you guys?
Love it. You know, I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but we'd love to play here. This is a special place, a special environment. So anytime we can play at home at Atkins Stadium, we embrace that opportunity.
Yeah, and kind of early stages of scouting, what have you learned about school, the Osage?
That they are a spirited group and they're going to be very well prepared. We expect them to play very hard.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, it doesn't seem like we were doing this not that long ago, and now we're doing it again, but we're ready for another season. How excited are you for the return of high school football?
You know, I'm just happy for football to be back in general. This is probably the best time of the calendar year for sports. And, you know, it's always exciting this first Friday night, just the energy around it. Not too excited for the heat, but other than that, right. Definitely very excited for football to be back.
Right. I was going to say, if this game started maybe one day later than today, we'd be in good shape as the cool front seems to be moving through on Saturday, but I guess we'll just deal with some water breaks and some, little bit of a later start, and let's start there. Jays, open the season. Where are we going? What time does it start? And how excited are we for that season opener?
Yeah, I got moved back to 8 p.m. tonight. It'll be School of the Osage again for the second straight year. So that's kind of not necessarily it should be an easier game compared to the rest of the schedule. So this is kind of one they need to start fast and kind of showcase some improvement from last year. That's for sure.
So let's kind of go macro before we go micro. But Jays are coming off a 6-5 season. I think, you know, that was probably something that they would have liked it to be a little bit better than that. But it was what it was. But the good news is coming back from that 6-5 season, sounds like we've got a lot of familiar bodies, a lot of familiar names that will be in the lineup this time around.
Yeah, the only real major replacements they needed on the offensive side for sure is right guard and right tackle. The same group had started for 2 years in a row, and three of those are back for their senior year. So the offensive line obviously has to be good for a wing T offense to function. That is kind of the staple of it. So yeah, you're going to see a lot of faces, and then the backfield is the other thing that they lost over 2,000 yards of production last year from their backfield. Luckily, they get Cantrell Jordan, who rushed for about 600 yards last year. He'll be leading the backfield, and it looks like they got two pretty talented guys stepping in, and Zach Barnes and Jaden LaViolette, I think is how it's pronounced. Don't quote me on that. So yeah, the offense should be able to hit the ground running relatively early on in the season because it is a lot of the same as last year.
But how concerning is that then when you lose that much production? And that's obviously something that they kind of, you know, that was what they wanted to do last year. You're still going to have to kind of replace that. And it's until you kind of have somebody who now is in the role of we have to depend on you every game out to hopefully do what we expect you to do. That's just going to be a kind of a great variable going into the season.
Yeah, and they kind of dealt with it last year compared to 2 years ago. They lost David Bethune and Kevion Pendleton. So they had to produce that. It worked fine. This is kind of a younger group of running backs, which is kind of a slight bit of a worry because game speed at varsity is obviously a lot faster. You have to worry about bigger guys hitting you,
sure.
Holding on to the football, which kind of reared its ugly head in the Jamboree a little bit. They fumbled three or four times, so that'll be something to watch early on in the season, but you have to expect that gets ironed out relatively quickly. But yeah, it's a lot of production, especially for Rodney Wilson. They're going to miss the 60, 70-yard touchdowns that it seemed like he ripped off every single week. So,
right.
I would definitely expect Zach Barnes to have a huge season, though, as a sophomore. I've really been impressed with what I've seen from him early on.
So with that being said, and we think we know what we want to do, you think there's any chance that the Jays deviate from what we saw last year under Damon Wells? Do you think this, all of a sudden, they come out and maybe do something different than what you saw game after game after game last year, or do you think it's going to be more of the same?
If the Jamboree is any teller, I think they're going to throw the ball quite a bit more this year. They really like their wide receivers of Ryan Tadson, Kendrick Johnson, and Josh Wilson. That's probably the best athletes they have on the team. So the shots downfield were there last year.
Okay.
We talked about that a lot on this podcast.
Right.
And they will probably be there a lot early on in the year if they want them again before that stuff gets on tape. So if they're able to do it, I think it'll be there. And it sure sounds like they want to do it a lot more this year.
And I know it's a limited sample size, but you know we saw them in the Jamboree, but we didn't see an inter-squad scrimmage before that. You know, I'm sure that, you know, your exposure to them in practice has been limited, but how do we think that their ability to do that is? I mean, do we think that they can throw that ball and complete more of it than what we maybe saw last year?
Yeah, no, I think you should expect a leap from Jacob Wilson from junior year to senior year, his second year as the varsity quarterback. And I really liked what I saw in the Jamboree from him, because when he was getting outside of the pocket, he was keeping his eyes downfield and looking to make plays through the air, even when he had to scramble out of the pocket a little bit. And that's going to open up a lot of things, because he is a sprinter on the track team. He's a very athletic kid.
Right.
So that's always going to be there. But having that in the back of his head to make sure he is not missing a wide open touchdown 30 yards down the field when he gets out of the pocket will be huge for him. And yeah, it's really going to come down to the offensive line for the pass production, I think, because if he doesn't have time to throw, nothing's going to work.
But sure.
If they're able to give him time in the pocket, I would expect him to have a much better season passing the ball than last year.
Okay. So, in terms of, I mean, I know that both sides of the ball for the Jays return a fair amount of starters. How important do you think maybe some of that experience just is in terms of just, like you mentioned, at a quarterback? Second go-round is always easier than the first go-round. So anybody who's coming back with any experience at all, that's got to just be a level of comfort that just, you know, you're used to, like you say, the speed of things. You're used to kind of what's expected at this level. So I've got to imagine that's going to be helpful too. Just the standpoint of you got a lot of guys who've got a lot of game reps, not just practice reps.
Yeah, and even more so building off of that, it's in the system. This is year three under Wells' offensive system, year two under O'Donnell's defensive system. So the big thing they've been saying is speaking the same language. But just being comfortable in the system, being comfortable with your assignment, knowing what you have to do every play is huge. So, the returning starters from last year should be very comfortable. And it looked like it seems from everything I can tell on the defensive side of the ball, they've been able to go through the full offseason and not be kind of behind the eight ball like they were last year. So learning everything and being there in the past is always going to help.
I do want to get to the defense here, because we're going to talk a lot about the offense, but I want to kind of go back to something you just mentioned. The stability of the coaching staff has got to be something where, you know, like you say, now we're kind of getting a little bit more of that. It's not in that there. It's not going to be something new this year. How important is that then for just the overall, you know, idea of what the Jays are going to bring to the field in terms of being familiar with terminology, what their assignments are, what's expected of them? How big is that just in terms of having that kind of coaching stability?
Yeah, it almost seems like an identity's building with this team. And for the longest time, Jeff City had an identity.
Sure.
Under Atkins and then Ron Cole and then Ted LePage. But what I wrote about in my preview at the start is after LePage left, they cycled through two coaches in three seasons.
Right.
So building an identity when you're switching around all the coaching staff as much as they were is next to impossible. So yeah, having just the stability of the coaching staff all the way down to the middle school level is going to help the program build for years to come. Because if you have that identity at the varsity level and that goes down to middle school, you have kids when they enter high school already familiar with the system, and that just puts you so far ahead of the game.
So let's flip it over to the defense. So now we talked plenty about the offense. I got to imagine that the first thing that has been said or said repeatedly, not just the first thing, probably the second thing, probably the third thing, is this was a defense that gave up a fair amount of points last year. And obviously, last year was last year, this year is this year. But I got to imagine if you're just going to look at it from one statistic or one viewpoint only, it's got to be defense has got to be better this year.
Yeah, tackling. And I was glad that was one of the first things that was mentioned to me when I started talking to the coaching staff this season, because that was the biggest issue with the defense last year. They were able to put themselves in position to make a lot of plays, but they gave up so many big plays because they weren't able to finish plays.
Right.
And you have the very talented skill players that they'll see throughout the season. Those guys were running wild. It wasn't a thing of limiting their production. It was kind of floodgates opening once it started. So, yeah, I was really impressed with what I saw from the defense and the Jamboree. Tackling looked much, much improved. And just kind of bouncing back to the scheme of things, there was no blown assignments. You could kind of tell what they were doing on every play, and I can't necessarily say I saw that last year or that last year.
Right. Well, and that, again, that's where I think we talked about it a lot last year, whereas they were in position to make plays, maybe didn't. But if you're solid in the scheme and you're solid in your assignments, there's going to be chances for other people to help you out in those instances. It's not just going to have to be one guy making a tackle in space. Theoretically, if you've got enough pursuit to the ball where you've got everybody playing and everybody being real active and being fast to the ball, then you can help if somebody misses that first tackle. But if you're not there and they do, then all of a sudden those things become huge. So I got to imagine that just, again, they've got a fair amount of returnees on that side of the ball too, where you go, okay, these guys know what last year was like. These guys know how things went. These guys know what has to be done to be successful and what needs to be avoided to not be successful.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously the returners are going to help. The big focal point for me on this defense is going to be the linebacking core, because it's brand new this year.
Okay.
So last year, Cohen Davis was the leading tackler of the team. He's now at Capital City. Ethan Garnett was probably the next best player on the defense. He's at Lincoln now. So they have four brand new linebackers this year, and Alex Holloway, Colton Ketchum, Anthony Sinneker, and Cantrell Jordan is somebody I'm pretty excited to see at outside linebacker. He played DB last year, some safety, some corner. He's now going to be using his athleticism kind of as an edge rusher, I would guess.
Okay.
And the little bit I saw, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch off the edge. He's kind of playing the Rodney Wilson role of what he played at the end of last year. And once they moved Rodney into that role, the defensive production kind of went up, because getting an athlete back into the backfield is always going to help.
Sure.
Because they can keep up with the athletes that on the other side. So, yeah, I think this defensive production is going to come down to how well those new linebackers play. And that kind of couples off your point of being able to help out other people, because everybody around them is going to have to be able to help them out.
I like to, I mean, we talk about it at certain points of the year when maybe it becomes a problem or maybe there's a glaring mistake or something, but this is the time of the year where I really like to focus on, the old coach speak of the three phases of the game. So I know it's not always the glitziest thing, but special teams are going to be huge. I mean, you know, if you've got an offense that's returning a fair amount of guys, you've got a defense that's returning a fair amount of guys, then my next question is going to be, okay, how ready is that area to help you be successful, or is it going to be a problem? So just, based on what limited we've seen, and this is all going to be new and might just, we'll have a different perspective on it when we talk next week, because we'll have a game under our belt, but how does the special teams look for the Jays heading into the season?
We didn't get to see it in the Jamboree, so
sure.
All of this is based off what I've seen in practices.
Right,
so,
right.
Jacob Wilson is actually going to be handling the kicking and punting duties. He handled the punting duties last year, which is typical for a high school quarterback. But Kendrick Johnson is the guy that stepped in at kicker after Joe Custer went down last year. So I kind of went into this season expecting him to be the kicker again. So it'll be Jacob. Haven't seen it. So
right.
I'm not sure what that's going to look like. Definitely got a strong lower half, so he's probably got a pretty strong leg. So we'll see the accuracy. Yeah, we'll figure out a lot tonight with that. Kicker turning, they haven't really dialed in who that's going to be yet. They basically just told me it's going to be any combination of the wide receivers or running backs. So
right.
There's about five or six faces that can be back there. And they definitely said that they have emphasized special teams a lot, and they've practiced it enough to the point where if it needs to be good. It basically
right.
has to be. So
right.
they seem to have a focal point on it. I can't give you too much insight on it because I haven't got to see
sure,
it yet.
Sure. I guess the one remaining thing then to kind of chat a little bit about is, as we're taping this, we're not sure. Later today they will release, the enrollment breaks and the classifications for everybody. you know, we're kind of hearing some rumblings, but where do we think the Jays are going to land this year when those new, you know, class breaks come out?
Well, I'm about 99% sure Jeff City will be in class five this year.
Okay.
With the redistrict or redrawing of the district lines with Capital City, their enrollment's back up. So, yeah, I think the expectation around the entire program is to be in class five. They don't seem too worried about it. But I think that's mostly because that's way far in advance.
Sure.
And they have to get through this regular season schedule before you start worrying about who you play in the postseason. But, I mean, that's big. It has to be big. I mean, you can look on the other side. You won't see Hannibal.
If they stay in class four. You know. Yeah.
You probably won't be looking at Hannibal in the district championship for the third straight year. So that maybe opens a door. But then you kind of lumped in with the Capital Cities and the Helias again. So that may bring some intriguing postseason matchups,
for
sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously it's a little bit jumping the gun to be thinking about postseason, but it's one of those things where it is always interesting just to kind of see how it fluctuates. And, you know, we got so used to for years before the schools split that, you know, we were just used to biggest class every year. And then all of a sudden it was kind of weird the last couple of years with class four, you know. So now this year will be another adjustment period if it lands how we think it's going to land. So it's just gonna one just be a matter of, you know, thinking of the terminology, but just trying to figure out, okay, what does the road look like once you get to the postseason again. So yeah, again, something to be having, you know, you're kind of in your hip pocket wondering about, you know, we'll worry about that after a few more weeks of these conversations, but that'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. So any thoughts of yours kind of heading into this point other than we're ready to go?
I mean, just for tonight's sake, it'll be interesting watching this Osage team because they have a brand new, they have a new defensive coordinator, so that brings a brand new defensive scheme. So they've kind of struggled to scout Osage, so that's something to watch going in. They might be throwing some wrinkles they're not expecting. They basically told me they're preparing for everything.
Sure.
So kind of how you study for a college final.
Right.
If you prepare for everything, nothing's going to surprise you.
Did you study for a lot of college finals?
All of them.
Okay, good.
That's convincing enough.
All right. Then that will lead us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you flat out, what happens in tonight's game? Who comes out on top?
Well, I definitely think that Jeff City is going to come out on top on this one. You know I never think of these scores before I come in here, so I'm going to go with 40-21.
Well, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.